This will be the 55th Super Bowl. Tom Brady has made 18% of them. Number 10. And also Patrick Mahomes, wow, starting off his streak. The perfect Super Bowl with this very imperfect battle. Let's go.
Oh.
And I'm not talking about you, Ramona. And I'm not talking about you, Pablo Torre. I'm sure your picks were wrong, but I never asked you for your picks. However, I have asked Clinton Yates and Tim Kalishaw, and boy, were they wrong. More on that in a bit. We're going to start with the Packers. What a meltdown at the end of the half. And that dropped interception that came right before. And Devontae Adams dropping a touchdown, and St. Brown, the two-point conversion. These are all huge point swings in the game. But even after all that, Matt LaFleur's decision down 8, just over 2 minutes to go, to kick and not go for it on fourth down is where we start. There's second guessing, there's first guessing, hindsight, foresight. Super Bowl was on the line. Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback, and they elected to give the ball back to Tom Brady. Pablo Torre, around the horn to you. What type of decision was that?
Tony, this was one of the most consequential mistakes in the history of the Green Bay Packers, and it may sound hyperbolic, but understand what's on the line here, right? It's not just the Super Bowl that you blew because you decided to give the ball back to Tom Brady. It's the fact that you had Aaron Rodgers, who now currently feels wildly alienated by this decision, in context. And the context is essential because the Green Bay Packers, Tony, didn't just have an excellent red zone offense. They scored 80% of the time this season. That is the best red zone offense in the history of this statistic, which has been tracked now for 20 years by ESPN. So the fact that you have Aaron Rodgers this year and you had a chance to go and take this and you didn't because you were afraid, and now you may lose possibly Aaron Rodgers, who at the very least wants us to think
that. All right, don't get ahead of yourself right here. Clinton Yates, Matt LaFleur's decision to kick and not go for it.
I didn't understand that at all. The guy's young enough to have played Madden, in which you know you'd never ever
thank you for following
down
me on Twitter.
Doing there. But overall, here's what I think is. The Packers panicked. And this is something that I said about last game in terms of when they played Tampa Bay. They panicked early. In this game, they panicked late. I didn't have a huge issue with it in time in this regard. The guy on the previous play, Aaron Rodgers, did not get it done. Not only did he not run into the end zone, he almost threw a pick on that play. And I can understand LaFleur looking at him right then and there and saying, no, I'm not going to you. We had three downs right then, and it didn't work. Overall, it does not seem smart. But in that exact moment, I kind of get it, even though it failed him.
Mona Shelburne, we'll bring you in now.
Look, I think it's pretty simple. If you make that decision and you decide, like, this is how we're going to play it, right? Okay, I'm going to live with this field goal here, or I'm going to live with Aaron Rodgers. Later on in the offseason, what do you want to feel worse about? That you gave the ball to Aaron Rodgers and he didn't perform, or that you kicked the field goal and you'll never know what would have happened? And I think the Packers are going to be talking about that and living with that for a long time. I agree. He should have run it on third down. There was a lot of other plays. I mean, if they don't go for two earlier in the game, like they didn't need to go there, then it's not even an issue. But that's where they ended. It was a gut check. Do you trust Aaron Rodgers, who had an MVP season, or do you want to kick a damn field goal?
All right, so that's where you are. Tim Kalishaw, are you with Ramon and Pablo, or are you closer to where Clinton was?
Tony, on a big championship weekend, mistakes were made, some on a Friday afternoon television show, some during the games themselves, and this was the biggest of all the mistakes.
Right,
let me give you the big reason why. If you go for it and fail, the Bucs get the ball in the 8, or wherever the ball is after that play, and you're going to use your timeouts to try to get back, and you need a touchdown. If you succeed with the field goal, they're going to get the ball about the 25. You still have to use your timeouts to get it back, and you still need a touchdown. There just wasn't enough to gain with the success of a field goal to make that the right call.
And to underline one point, who are you giving the ball to? Tom Brady. And that was incredible restraint. None of you even brought up Tom Brady's name in that answer. Because now, this run that he's on, Tim Kalishaw, this is number 10. So comparing it to the other 9 runs to the Super Bowl he had, is this the best ever?
In its own way, it is. And I know he threw a few picks yesterday and didn't have his overall best game, although he was spectacular with some of the things he did, and that pass to Scotty Miller before halftime being a huge one. But to win 3 road games, to be a wild card team, to go do all that, to get to a Super Bowl, that's something Tom Brady's never had to do. He usually played 2 home games, or maybe 1 home game and 1 road game. So to do it with a new team, to do it with a team You know all the stories. They didn't practice. They didn't, like everybody else, they didn't have a normal offseason. It's incredible to think he could do exactly what he said he could do when he left New England.
Ramona, you agree with Tim? This is the best run ever for the best quarterback ever?
I mean, his age, the new team, everything that Tim laid out where they didn't have the training camp like you normally have. Plus, you know, in the 9 previous Super Bowl runs, there's been only 3 road games. 15 of the 18 games that Tom Brady played in his last to get to the last 9 Super Bowls were at Foxborough. So that's how unprecedented those 3 road games were for Tom Brady.
So in the aftermath of it all, you've been hearing the best athlete ever debate. It's kind of wonky, I would say, but you want a ruling on that, Clinton Yates?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think that's necessary to discussion. The best quarterback, the best athlete in American history, absolutely not. What matters is that he's the best winner in team sports this country has seen in a generation, which is what makes this run so impressive. They had to do a lot to get here. It wasn't like they just walked in and all of a sudden it was turnkey and it was going to go. They made a bunch of pickups in the offseason, not to mention halfway through the year, they were kind of struggling. This team really got it together and put themselves in a place to achieve, and I think that's as much as impressive as
that. Pablo Torre?
Yeah, I don't think this makes him the best athlete ever. I don't think this was his best run, but Tony, I think it was his most useful one because we've been numb to Tom Brady and those previous 9 because you click on footballreference.com and you see his playoff stats and it's a CVS receipt, right? It does not end, and yet he does this. We're talking about him again, so yes, it's important, but he's been better than this before, and again, football, the ultimate team sport, as Clinton says, I don't think a football player could ever be the best athlete, period, because of that reason alone.
Were you guys watching yesterday, and were you trying to get in the head of Bill Belichick a little bit as he's watching? Ramona, you were? Please, go ahead.
Oh, my God. All I'm picturing is Bill Belichick sitting like Bernie Sanders at the inauguration with the mittens, right? I mean, this whole season, ever since Tom Brady went to Tampa Bay and they had the messy breakup and left the Patriots, it feels like it was a referendum on who really deserves the credit for that great Patriots run. Was it Belichick and the system, or was it Brady? And I think right now, Brady's just got to be looking at him like, yep.
Clinton Yates?
That was me.
Perfectly chaotic energy, because if you're rooting for Brady, it means you're rooting against the Belichick, you know, legacy. And that is very fun for all of us who've had to sit around and listen to New England fans.
You think it was fun for New England fans last night, Tim? Was it?
No, but I'm not a New England fan. I don't know. I think it's,
there's some are having fun, some are tortured. But I can imagine a very defiant Bill Belichick saying, yeah, my defense doesn't play like Tampa Bay's either. It's not all about Tom Brady.
I prefer the Bernie meme. He is what I'm prepared to do. I'm going to take all of my playoff wins, and I am going to give them to you. Still, Jameis Winston looks at Brady's line yesterday, 3 touchdowns, 3 picks, is like, hey, man, I've been there. The Buccaneers getting to the Super Bowl. Was it as simple as adding Brady to a team that was 10th in the conference last year, Pablo?
No, it wasn't that simple, although it was the most important thing. The reality of the Bucs, and they saw it. We saw it in this game, right? They had a defense last year that was excellent. They got even better this year with Todd Bowles. Shaq Barrett had 3 sacks. Devin White is excellent. It's so much more than just Brady. It's the fact that this team, Tony, went all in on this year because and after they got Brady.
Clinton Yates?
Yeah, you don't get any of those guys if you don't get Brady between Fournette, between Gronkowski. You know, you don't have the same mindset. So is it as simple as one guy? No, but what that one guy brings the rest of everybody up.
All right. And now we talk about Aaron Rodgers after the game and whether you heard a man who may be done or maybe done in Green Bay. Let's roll tape.
A lot of guys' futures that are, you know, uncertain, you know, myself included. There's a lot of unknowns going into this offseason now.
How does Rodgers sound to you, Tim Kalishaw?
Well, on the one hand, he sounds like a lot of frustrated championship game losers. Ben Roethlisberger a few years ago, guys have talked retirement. So you could see part of that just being the game. But you think about how this game evolved, how this season evolved, and it's been mentioned how instead of using their first-round pick on something to help the offense, they went with a quarterback who might play for them in 4 years, Jordan Love. All of that stuff has to be sitting on Aaron Rodgers' chest right now, making him ponder things.
Yeah, it sounds like retirement is a realistic possibility. A lot of people think he wants to go to another team, but Aaron Rodgers has plenty of interest. We see him do a lot of other things, and there is an example to draw from that maybe stepping away from the game and coming back is an option to take. Hello, Rob Gronkowski just did it in that game. It's not out of the question.
I mean, he sounded like a guy whose season just came to a crash landing and it was all hitting him at once. He had an MVP kind of season, and I think that you know, that when that hits you like that, you know, all those emotions are coming out, like Tim said, you feel it like that, and you sound like you might want to leave. I do think that the Packers need to make every effort, and Matt LaFleur started that with his comments post-game saying, hell yeah, we want him back. Like, we're going to do what we can to keep him happy. And so I wonder if he's going to make a decision based off of how he feels right now, or if he's going to wait and see what the Packers do in their offseason and how they retool around
him. And Pablo.
He sounds, Tony, like I sounded when I put the lyrics of Drift Away as my away message on Instant Messenger in college because I just got dumped. Like, he is clearly hurting right now. He's in a tough relationship right now. And the reason he's hurting is because this is a recurring nightmare, right? Mike McCarthy used to do the stuff that Matt LaFleur has been doing, which is kick field goals instead of go for it. He thought this was going to be a whole different experience. He's trapped in the old cycle that he thought he had escaped. And yes, I think he's contemplating his life and his existence.
But we were just talking like about 10 before. For Brady. And it's 1 for Rodgers. Tim, you said before we sat down, Brady has now the same number of NFC championships as Rodgers. 1, like Rex Grossman, Bears fans have pointed out. Clinton, is that a team failure, a Rodgers failure, or is that just team football?
I think it's a team failure, like I said before, which hasn't counted for much today. I think that if there was one quarterback you'd take behind Tom Brady in the entire league, it would be Aaron Rodgers. Those teams, that's a different discussion.
Right, we'll get to Patrick Holmes in a second. Shelburne, how about you?
Well, you know what? I don't know that Aaron Rodgers strikes me as a guy who's cared all that much about his place in history. He doesn't seem like he's motivated by where he ranks amongst his contemporaries. He's a really good football player, and he wants to win. And I remember our colleague Mina Kimes had a great story on him a few years ago where when he did get that one championship, it was incredibly validating for him. But I don't know that he's necessarily looking at the trophy case and trying to catch Drew Brees.
How about you?
You know, it was 10 years ago, our city hosted a lovely Super Bowl. Great weather. Everybody enjoyed it out there in Arlington. You could have told me Aaron Rodgers is not going to go to another Super Bowl the next 10 years, and I would have said there's no way in the world that happens.
This is a franchise. Exactly. Favre and Rodgers, the quarterbacks for the last 30 years, 2 championships. 2. You guys want to talk about the refereeing? Oh, did I bring up that? Okay. Did I bring it up too late? Because there's no such thing as a late flag here, apparently.
That was a hell of a
call. That's not a call you saw all game.
How do you go forward as you pull the jersey?
You didn't see it all game. They didn't have a penalty flag until halfway through the third quarter. Are you all right with that flag?
No.
Yeah, all right, I'm also all right with the refereeing on this show, too.
Oh, don't worry about the refereeing on this show, Clinton. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Around the Horn is brought to you by Tostitos. Get to the good stuff.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What's up, kiddos? I'm Clinton Yates of Around the Horn. Whenever I go to cover games or attend events in Los Angeles, I'm always keeping my eye out for the best-dressed person in the room. I saw Diego Luna at the Andor red carpet launch event, Star Wars, folks, and he looked head of state fresh. Now you can also be that person, too, whether you're sitting courtside, attending a fancy dinner, or going to a wedding. With a fully custom suit from Indochino, you'll walk into wedding season looking like $1 million for way, way less. They start at just $4.99. With Indochino, you can design the suit of your dreams and fine-tune every detail, including lapels, linings, monograms, pocket flaps, etc. A tailored fit from home. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose customizations without even leaving the house. Look your best this wedding season. At the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Go to Indochino.com today and use code HORN to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code HORN.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Let me ask a question here. Right now, the chances in 2041, we're talking about Patrick Mahomes, like we're talking about Tom Brady today, that this is his 10th or 12th Super Bowl. It's not a zero. I mean, number two for him coming after a rare double-digit win for Kansas City, but coming in his third year as starter this year compared to last year. Are the champs better or in a better spot going into the Super Bowl, Ramona?
Yeah, they're playing with that championship swagger, right? They're the 14th team who won a Super Bowl to go back to the Super Bowl. But the last team who actually won it in their repeat was Tom Brady back in 2004. So it's pretty rare. And I think the fact that Chiefs even got back there is a testament to how much swagger and confidence they have after last
Lynn,
year. And
you agree this team is better this year?
I agree, and it's still amazing to me how they're not just outperforming people, but they're out-scheming them. Every single person in America knows who their weapons are, and every single time they catch a touchdown pass, they're wide open. Travis Kelce never seems to have anybody on them.
It's amazing. It's almost like who would pick the Bills on Friday's show. It's almost like that. Speaking of, Tim Kalishaw, welcome to the program here.
I think they're more dangerous than they were a year ago, especially on defense. People think they're not very good on defense because some of their stats aren't great, but they're very creative. They make big plays. Buffalo never figured out their blitz.
Pablo Torre?
Yeah, they're not a better team in terms of the body of work. They kind of went on cruise control during the season, won a lot of close games, those last nine games they played. But now, Tony, they have a bigger obstacle, which is their left tackle Eric Fisher is out for the Super Bowl. So for me, that may be the biggest difference between repeating and not.
Especially after seeing what Jason Pierre-Paul did in the NFC Championship. Ooh. The Bills were up 9-0. You know KC's coming. You know they're going to go on a run. They do it at every game. So Sean McDermott's decisions for field goals at the end of the half and again in the second half, kind of tough. In hindsight, you have to like the future for Buffalo. How did Josh Allen look to you yesterday, Clinton? And how close is this team?
This team is about as close as all those teams that went up against, I don't know, like Michael Jordan in the 90s are trying to deal with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. I mean, I think that they're an excellent squad, and I don't have a problem with his decision to get points because you don't want to end up getting snowed by the Chiefs and then you're too far in the depth to be able to get back. But, yeah, as long as the Chiefs are in the league, you're not going far, but I think the Bills are in a decent place to contend and not pretend as they had for a while.
I think Buffalo's really good, but how is Josh Allen going to respond next year to having a bad game yesterday with some of the decisions he made and all those good young quarterbacks in the AFC? Is he going to separate from them, or is he just going to be in that big mix that wants to be up there against
them? Pablo, did you see a bad game from Josh Allen yesterday? Bad game from the Bills? What do they look like going forward?
A bad game from Josh Allen, a worse game from the defense, which really needed to do better than just let Patrick Mahomes stroll right to the Super Bowl. The Sean McDermott thing, by the way, too, Tony, I hated that. I hated that simply because the first drive of the game, 4th and 1, he goes for it. But then when he actually really needs it, he clams up and gets scared, and that's...
I said this before. I heard it again. There was an echo. This is an age. Coaches are old enough to have played Madden and Tecmo growing up.
Yes.
They know, never kick. Go for it on 4th down. Ramona Shelburne, how about you?
Yeah, never kick, but sometimes there is something to getting points on the board.
Okay.
Like, if you go for it a couple of times in a row, especially against a KC team that is just going to keep on scoring. I mean, I was watching the halftime report, and Tracy Wilson, the sideline reporter, interviewed Andy Reid, and he goes, "We just need to get more points. We like lots of points." I mean, that's what the Chiefs do. They put pressure on you, and then it makes you make bad decisions. But if you at least keep it within striking distance, you got a shot.
You're beating Patrick Mahomes by kicking field goals, Ramona Shelburne? I don't know. You should have gone for 6 there. We'll move on. We only have 2 weeks to talk about it, so let's get it in now. Buccaneers home Super Bowl. We've heard so much about this. What type of advantage is home field for the Bucs in the Super Bowl, Tim?
Well, we've waited over 50 years to find out, and we're really not going to find out because it's not going to be 80,000 people in the stadium. The seats are going to be divided up. It's an advantage, but it's 1 point. It's not 3.5 points.
Yeah, I would say it's 0.0 points because the Bucs, to begin with, had one of the worst home field advantages over the last decade. Then you had the pandemic. You had the fact that a lot of essential workers who are vaccinated will be comprising the audience. They're not going to have that many fans in an empty arena to begin with.
I called it the perfect Super Bowl matchup when we started the show. I saw some looks from your people. But, I mean, literally, it's a passing of the torch from the greatest quarterback of all time maybe to the next one. Is this the best Super Bowl quarterback matchup ever, Ramona?
I'm going to give you an... I'm going to get Doc points. It might be.
Okay.
We can look back in 10 years.
Man, you are kicking field goals right now, and Kalishaw scoring touchdowns. How about you, Clayton Yates?
I think so for the modern era, but when you look back on things like Marino Montana or anything that Elway was involved with, it's hard to say right now that they're as big because we haven't seen the tail end of Mahomes' career, but I like it a lot. I'll tune in.
Elway against Favre was one of the great matchups ever. Marino against Montana. Even the Staubach Bradshaw games in the 70s when they'd already won Super Bowls were superior.
Superior to this. Pablo Torre, where are you on this?
No, they were great.
With all due respect to Tim and to Elway and Montana in 1990, Tony, this is the best. Tom Brady versus Patrick Mahomes is the best. We don't need to really spend too much more time.
No, Tim, none of those other guys were unquestioned greatest of all time like Brady is at the moment. And none of them were the greatest in the game at that moment, right? As Mahomes has already won one. None of those guys were defending at that point.
Ooh, Montana was when he played Elway, but Elway stunk that day, so it didn't.
Yeah, he had never won one at that point. All right, Ramona Shelburne, enough to advance.
I know.
We sing Drift Away to Clinton Yates and Tim Kalisha. What was it? Was it the Uncle Cracker
Pablo, version? Admit to America you listen to Uncle Cracker version.
Yes.
Admit it.
It was a complicated time in college for Pablo. Uncle Cracker. Yeah. Crab Rangoon and things of that nature. Showdown is next.
My heart in all the ways.
You're hitting him on all.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Ramona Shelburne, Pablo Torre, and Showdown.
I could. I'm just curious as to what the next step forward here is for the team as you guys move into another week of basketball.
Yeah, why don't we just evaluate this game? You know, I'm not into what our next step forward is right now. What's your major at Duke? What's your hardest class?
Econ.
Okay. So say you just had the toughest econ test in the world. And when you walked out, somebody asked you, what's your next step? You see what I mean?
That exchange with Duke Chronicle reporter Jake Piazza, Coach K has since apologized. Fair or foul, Ramona Shelburne?
Look, that's foul. I don't like it when Pop does it, and I don't like it when K did it. But somebody did that to me. A college coach did that to me when I was a young reporter, and it made me tougher, right? So use that, Jake Piazza. Use that in your career going forward. It'll be a good story to tell.
I have empathy for young Jake because I've been mistaken for a college student for the last 14 years, despite being an actual professional journalist. I will simply point this out. Louisville's not the toughest test in the world for Duke. I'm sorry. It's just
That's
not.
That's true. That's true, Pablo. Best advice, though, from Ms. Shelburne here. Jake, use that going forward. It will propel you. And this propels Shelburne. 37 in favor.
Well, I think we all remember where we were last year tomorrow, when we heard that Kobe Bryant had been killed in a helicopter accident. I know where I was. I can remember the details of the day very vividly. But you know who doesn't want to remember that day? Vanessa Bryant and his kids. And she's made that very clear on social media. She doesn't want the discussion tomorrow to be a remembrance of the day he died, but of the life that he lived. So let's try and do that, everybody.
Very well said, Ramona. You'll be on Pablo's podcast, The Daily, tomorrow to talk about it. We look forward to that. 23 and a half hour break. See you tomorrow.